Hello and welcome to Up the Villa podcast. We got through to the final, as you will have, some of you will have seen on our announcement video that dropped. We've made it to the final. We're absolutely buzzing. We're going to the Football Content Awards. We're entering the category of best new content creators. I'm absolutely buzzing. We're all buzzing, but we still need your help. It gets judged by a panel, but it also goes off some of the votes that are going to be coming in as well. So head over again to Football Content Awards, just like you did last time. You're going to learn how to vote in that section there. Scroll down to the voting page. This time you don't have to type anything in at all. Best new content creator, just go down to UTV Podcast. Down to the bottom of the screen, agree to the terms and vote. That is easy and that's all you need to do. Villa fans, you love the Villa, so let's get our fan channel to the top. Let's win this award and I'd be over the moon if we could win it now. So thanks everybody that voted the last time. Vote again for us and let's do it. We are going to be covering the World Cup in November and December on the channel. We're not just going to be covering England. It's going to be across the board of the whole tournament. We're going to be previewing certain knockout round games. We're going to be reacting to games. We're just going to cover the whole of the World Cup. We are going to cover England as well. I am an England fan. Justin is. Everyone on this fan channel is. So I feel like it's only right that we do cover England as well. And now we've got an international break. I still want to create content. So we're going to cover England in the Nation League and just give our thoughts on everything because it is the build-up to the World Cup. We've got two games to go before we kick off in Qatar. So, Justin, how are you feeling about going into the World Cup?
Not very confident, to be honest. Mainly because of the manager. It's a difficult one with Gareth Southgate because if you just take the results and how he's done for us over the last two tournaments, you know, a final and a semi-final, you'd say that's as good as anybody's done in since I can remember, to be honest, since I suppose back to the Terry Venables eras where we was getting to a semi-final and Bobby Robson, semi-final, Italian 90, which I remember. But I can't shake the feeling that we should have done so much better, and that sounds ridiculous, getting to a final and a semi-final. I don't see him as the man to win us a major tournament. And I think some of his decisions lately have been very, very hard. I think the squad he picked is very hard. I think he's backtracked massively on when he first came in. He was a breath of fresh air. He was saying that he's not going to pick players on their reputation. It was, you know, an England manager job is very, very different to a club job, isn't it? Where you see your players week in, week out. You can't really change them barring your transfer window. So you don't normally see wholesale changes. So with the England job, you get to pick the players that are in form, which in my opinion, is a dream for a manager because you're not going to worry about how much they're worth, how much you're paying them, anything like that, what the transfer fee is going to be to bring them in. You can pick the best English players, can't you? And because you get these little periods every year, so you get games every couple of 3 months and then you get a tournament every 2 years, you can really cherry pick the most informed players, can't you? So you get your system sorted, you get information sorted, and you pick the best players that are currently playing in those positions and just hope, I suppose, to a point that the ones, the main picks, don't lose form. But if they do massively lose form, then they've got to be left out of the squad, I'm afraid. And he just hasn't done that. And I think the continued picking of Harry Maguire is the biggest highlight for me of his failure recently, of what he's doing. I'm not massively overly confident going into it. I mean, we all want to see us win a World Cup. I mean, you know, these days are getting further and further away now. Winning World Cup 66 is a distant memory for everybody now, before I was even born. So it's a shame. But, I mean, we'll go into it with hopes and hope that, you know, we get a rub of the green in the games. We've got to get through the group stage and then it's a knockout competition. And we all know in knockout competitions, anything can happen. And we've certainly got good enough players, haven't we? I mean, you look at the English players we've currently got. We should be able to put out a very, very good first 11. I just haven't got faith in the manager. That's my biggest problem.
One of my little annoyances with England is that we go To qualify for a major tournament, you have to go through a group stage. It happens in every major tournament, the Euros, the World Cup. You go through a group stage to get to the main tournament. My issue with England at the minute is I haven't got a clue what the team is. I haven't got a clue what our strongest lineup is going to be going into a World Cup when we've only got two games to go. And for me, that is a massive, massive worry. And I always remember watching Spain when they're absolutely dominating for those sort of three major tournaments. And, you know, I know they were really good, but you knew what the team was going to be. You knew who was playing in every position. And that team grew, didn't it? And I kind of feel like, although we've had Southgate and we're now going into our third tournament, I think, with him, I just don't see any pattern of who we've got. And to me, that's a problem because Southgate doesn't get to have these players for a long period of time. You're talking every 2 months, he might have an international meeting with his players. And I think the problem that what we've got going into this World Cup is the majority of the players that he likes are out of form, out of form. Now, going into a major tournament with players that are bang out of form is another major problem. So I think we're going into it with big, big problems. I mean, I'm going to share the screen with you now and let's just have a little look at England's form, really. England's form now going into this set of Nations League fixtures. You know, we lost to Hungary. Yeah, we had two decent draws against Germany and Italy. We then lost to Hungary again. It's not great form going into a World Cup, and we've got two very tough games now in Italy and England. And I would be looking at him now to be playing his strongest team. But you know, I think Ivan Toney's done good. I mean, he's done good the last season and a bit, but I don't think Ivan Toney should be in a position now where he's going into the World Cup. He's not played any international games for England, and I just think, I don't know, we've got players like Jared Bowen, bang out of form, but then we've got players like James Maddison who are playing really well, who aren't even anywhere near this squad. So, I don't know, I'm a bit like you. I just feel like the squad at the minute is a bit of a mismatch all over the place, and I'm just not sure where he's going to go with it. But if you look at those games, Justin, it's not good reading, is it?
No, I mean, the Hungary game was a disaster, wasn't it, at home? To lose at home. Sorry, England should not be losing at home 4-0 to anybody, even to the best teams in the world, Brazil's, the Argentinas. You just shouldn't. We should be one of the strongest teams in the world. And yes, we're going to lose the odd game here or there, but we shouldn't be getting beat like that. I mean, that table is... Yes, it's a difficult group, Germany and Italy, good sides, but, you know, it's been pretty bad, hasn't it? 2 points from four games is not great. I mean, that, you know, England isn't what it used to be years ago. When I was a kid, England was the be-all and end-all of football, and you'd wait. You wouldn't even have international breaks. You'd have an England game on a Wednesday, and the games would be on the Saturday before and the Saturday after. And I couldn't wait when I was a kid to watch the England games playing live on ITV. And the likes of, I don't know, it was David Seaman, Terry Butcher, and, you know, the Des Walkers of the world that I used to watch when I was a kid. And it was brilliant, but now it doesn't seem to have the same appeal. Even the international tournaments, that they're all around. And this one especially, is just shoehorned into the, you know, the typical FIFA. And I think we all know why it was done, money reasons, like all decisions are made in football through money. And the closer we get to it, the more I think it's a more ridiculous decision by the day. To split a season in half is terrible, because you're going to get to the World Cup and you're going to have teams that are either doing really, really well in their domestic competitions or really badly, and they're not going to want to lose the players for the second half of the season, aren't they? Normally, you get to the end of a season and you've either done really well or you've done really badly. Let's say you've been relegated. At least then you can go away and reset for the next season, start fresh. You're not going to have that with this World Cup, are you? You're going to have players that are going to go away and are going to have to try and the teams. I mean, we've already lost players through injury at Villa. You know, and we haven't got that many going to international duties mainly because of injuries. But if you lose, let's say Harry Kane goes away with England and gets badly injured in the last game, you've lost him for the rest of the season. So I think a lot of national teams and Premier League clubs are going to be really worried about this World Cup being smack bang in the middle of a season. And it's hard for us fans to get excited for it, isn't it, as well? Because it's been a very stop-start few years anyway with COVID and everything. Now we get a season started and we've had this little break, obviously, through the Queen. And now we're going back and we've played one game. Now we've got an international break for 2 weeks. Then we go back and have to shoehorn loads of fixtures in to try and catch up, to get ahead of ourselves before the World Cup. Then we break for 6 weeks. Then it's Christmas, which is generally a very intense part of the season anyway. So you're not going to be surprised to be getting injuries left, right and centre.
Do you know what the weird part about this World Cup's going to be? Is, generally speaking, from a Villa fan, normally you can't wait for the season to end, can you? It ends and you're like, thank God for that. And then you can sort of like look forward to a World Cup or a Euros. Yep. That's my normal mindset. Normally I'm like...
It breaks up the summer, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm absolutely buzzing for it because, yeah, it narrows that period between the season ending and then the season starting. You've got that bit in the middle where you still got your football. But speaking from a club football fan, I don't really want this season to end now because I want to continue watching Villa. I'm a season ticket holder. I want to continue going down the Villa and watching the Villa. I'd rather watch the Villa than watch England. Do you know what I mean? So
it
feels weird because we're having this break, but really we still want the season.
And then you've got the problem for the actual clubs, themselves, the players that don't go away and the managers, they're sitting at home twiddling their thumbs for 6 weeks. You can't, you know, are they going to allow the non-internationals to go away and have 2 weeks holiday and then come back and do like a pre-season before we start again? So it's all going to be thought through carefully. The only one positive for us is with these injuries we seem to be picking up all the time, is we're going to get hopefully players like Diego Costa, Carlos, maybe back, because you're going to have 6 weeks of real rehabilitation. We've got one or two others niggles coming along now. Matty Cash and Luca Dean's got a knock, and Boubacar Kamara, we don't know what the problem with that is yet. That looks like could be a decently long injury by the look of it. So hopefully, you know, this tournament might come at a good time for us to get players back fit. But yeah, for me, it's a massively no. I hope they never do it again. I don't know. It might work, it might not. But, you know, to basically shut down your Villa head, get into your international head, then shut down your international head, get back into your Villa head to finish the season off, it's going to be very, very strange. And I think FIFA have dropped a real ball here, to be honest. I do, really.
Yeah.
And England, you know, go on.
Definitely. So, I mean, you know, I remember when we covered the Euros last time and we weren't really that happy with Southgate because, you know, one of our best players at the time was getting no looking in the England side. And then he started to, and then, you know, we got to the final and it was really good. And Southgate would have wanted momentum. He would have wanted momentum going into this tournament. And the issue that I was trying to get to it when I, you know, earlier on was the momentum's fizzled out for England. It's fizzled out now. And then we're going into this World Cup on poor form. Hopefully it can change. But, you know, a little bit of like, we don't know what direction we're going in. So that would be my only little thing going into it. So let's have a look at the squad now. So this is the squad we've picked going into the Nations League games. We'll delve into the squad and we'll get your thoughts, Justin. So as always, it's bottom heavy. It is bottom heavy. And this England squad at the minute are blessed with some really, really good fullbacks. We got really good fullbacks, which, you know, it's not a bad thing. But the system that we play sometimes when it's sort of like a five at the back, we got the fullbacks and stuff. So let's have a little look at it then. So we'll start off with keepers, Henderson, Pope and Ramsdale. Pope and Ramsdale are doing really well, aren't they? Ramsdale's doing really well for Arsenal. Pope's having a good start at Newcastle. So keepers, I think, we're pretty, pretty solid, aren't we? We've got Pickford out at the minute. But I think, you know, I'd be more than happy with Ramsdale or Pope starting games, would you?
Yeah, I think out of the sort of England keepers this season, I think Aaron Ramsdale would be my pick to be number one at the moment. I think Nick Pope has had a good start to the season. Dean Anderson, he's obviously at Forest now, I think, isn't he? So he's obviously having a lot to do there. So he's having plenty of practice. But yeah, I think Ramsdale really would be my pick to be first choice. I mean, it all depends whether Pickford. I don't think it's a bad injury, is it? I don't think he's out for that long. And to be fair to Jordan Pickford, he hasn't particularly let us down in major tournaments. So I do think come the World Cup, he will be our first choice. But it'd be nice to see Ramsdale and Pope getting a run out in the next two games, perhaps a game each. And then if Pickford isn't fit, then you've got decent backup there, haven't you?
Yes, and then the next area, where do we start with this? How many fullbacks we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So there's 6 fullbacks there.
Well, 7. Is it 7? Carl Walker as well.
And you can only pick 2.
Well, hopefully he'll pick a left back, because that was one thing he does. He has left backs and plays right back, left back. When he played Kieran Trippier, left back a lot of the time, didn't he? Which just blows my mind. You shouldn't be playing anybody out of position in an England squad, because you should have numerous players that can play in every position, regardless of the formation you pick.
Yeah, so I think that area is going to be one to keep an eye on for the next few games. Declan Rice, for me, should be starting every England game. Jude Bellingham as well, fantastic, fantastic talent. Calvin Phillips is injured, looks like he's required.
Yeah, I think Calvin. Calvin Phillips has made a huge mistake going to City. He'll win trophies, obviously, but he's not going to be first choice. And I think eventually it'll cost him his England place. But I think Bellingham and Rice really are the standouts there, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely.
Mount's in and out of Chelsea, isn't he, this season? He's not been like a standout either.
No. And then forward-wise, Harry Kane starts every game. And for me, it would be Foden and Sterling, either side of Kane. I think Bowen's bang out of form. I think Saka's not starting games, is he? Tony, first, he's going to get his first cap probably. But that's what I was saying earlier. It just feels weird now that we're still giving out new caps so close to a World Cup.
It does, but I think Tony deserves a call-up because of what he's done last season. He had a good season. He started the season this season, in red-hot form. So that sort of buys into my philosophy of picking players that are in form, and for once he has picked a player that's in form. But I do think, weirdly,
thing with that, though, Justin, that's all well and good, but then when you just revert back to type and play the same old faces, it don't make sense then, though, does it?
No, I think you do have to have a certain amount of balancing act. I think you have to stick with players that have done you proud. And so I sort of do understand. I'm not backtracking what I said earlier with my idea on Harry Maguire. You do have to keep a spying of players that have played regularly for you. But my argument with Harry Maguire is he's been out of form for a very, very, very long time. He now doesn't get in the Man United first team. So how can you play for England? Yes, fair enough. If you have a dodgy couple of weeks or you have a couple of mistakes, you still would think he's got to play for England. But if you've been out of form for as long as he has, I mean, he's dropped Tyrone Mings. And for me, Tyrone Mings is this season, after being left out the first game, he's getting better and better and better every week. He's been pretty decent for us this season. So I think that's a harsh one, especially given Connor Cody's play being picked. And, he fell out of favour at Wolves, didn't he? Yeah, he's retained his England place. But up front, I think, another thing he'll do is he's guaranteed to start Jack Grealish. Barely can get a game for City. Barely scored a goal or had an assist. Yeah, I'm sure he'll get to World Cup and he'll start. So it's there's no joined up thinking for me for Southgate, and that's the frustrating thing. So, but with the players we've got in that squad, we should be doing so well.
Yeah, so we've got Italy coming up first then. Italy, again, haven't qualified for a World Cup, which is just absolutely mental. It's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a big test, but I want to see us start winning some of these games now against these big, big nations. So what are you looking for going into the next two games? And what do you want to see? What would you take to give you maximum confidence going into the World Cup that would make you think, I'm buzzing for this now?
Well, Italy aren't in, like you've just said, aren't in amazing form. I will give a shout out to TK, who's going across. So I'm really jealous. He's going to the Italy game. He's going to the San Siro to watch Villa play, England play there in Italy. So that's going to be incredible. experience I'd love to have to San Siro. And they're not in great form. You know, Italian teams are very hit and miss. They're either very, very good or very bad. And at the moment, I think they've had a real drop off. The players that really did them proud have disappeared now. So I'd be confident. We've got to try and get something, haven't we, there? You know, we've got to go out to win both games, to be honest. Then we've got Germany at home at Wembley, which will be the first game since, obviously, the Queen passed. So I would think that they'll make a big issue of that. So that should be a good atmosphere. And Germany's, you know, we're never tough with a decent game against Germany. There's always a bit of needle in that game, isn't there? So, and they're two good games, really, you would hope for a manager to get his teeth into. They're not, you know, some lesser nation where we should be sticking seven or eight past. They will be giving us good tests. So it is a good little couple of games to build us up to the World Cup. Hopefully get a bit of form going. So yeah, I'll be looking to try and win both games, to be honest. I think we should be, you know, as an England, we shouldn't go anywhere thinking we can't win.
No, so that's what
frustrates me with Southgate. He's so negative, isn't he? He's, yeah, you know, 6-5 at the back, 2 defensive midfielders. You know, you're 8 defenders before you started, then you're expecting just the 3 up front to try and win you a game. And I think we should be on the front foot with England. I think we should be using all of our attacking outlets and going at teams and ripping teams apart instead of trying to nick a 1-0 and hold on to it. It's just very frustrating.
Yeah, so I would be looking at some positive results. So let's have a score prediction off you then. I'll kick it off with... It'll be a 1-1, won't it? It'll be tight, cagey, nothing in it. And I think it'll be a 1-1. What would you go with?
I'm going to hope for a 2-1 England, hopefully. We can nick a win.
Love it. So we've started our build-up to the World Cup. We'll come on Friday night. We'll react to the game against Italy. Be sure to subscribe, like this video, get involved in the comments section, and let's start our little build-up to the World Cup. So thank you for watching. And see you soon.
Up the England.